Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we are live on 97.1 Free FM. Brian Whitman has returned to the studio.
Well,
I apologize.
No. It's not necessary to revisit.
Brian has asked me off the air when he don't mock any of his impersonations, and I did it, and I feel bad.
Well,
so
no,
I apologize.
You know, there's no need to apologize. It's just that that's what I do. I mean, that's kind of my, you know, that's all I really offer. So to chop that up, you know.
I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
You know what I mean?
I didn't mean to do it.
I understand that.
You understand. It was an accident.
I understand you say that, and
I feel bad.
And
I won't do it anymore.
I got you. I never.
I mean, I might do an impersonation, but I won't do the same one you're doing when you do it.
Well, just on the ramp up to me doing it makes me sound predictable and hacky and all of that.
That's exactly right. That's why I shouldn't do it.
You're not supposed to agree with that.
What do you mean?
Well, when you say that Paris Hilton's grandfather was married to Elizabeth Taylor.
E.T., man.
Right. If one of us on the show is going to say, I did not know that.
It'd be you.
Right. Especially when I'm winding up to do it, because you see me getting into the visual. You see that I'm going to do it.
Right.
You actually know before the listener, oh, here it comes. Here comes, you know, Hack Boy. Here comes the butcher.
You want to do play-by-play?
With a little Carson.
Yeah, let's hear it again.
Here, you want to load in yours?
No, you know what, Randy? I'd rather load in yours.
No, let's. What is it?
That's a best of 181.
All right, can you type it in there, my brother?
Data entry?
Best of 181. Best of.
I got it.
181.
Enter? Shall I hit
it? I got it. All right, this happened moments ago.
Tim, forgive me. If it were an isolated incident.
I don't do it that often. I do it off the air often, not on the air.
No. There's an on-air pattern.
Get out of here, dude.
Of mocking me and kind of putting me down. So if this were an isolated incident, it would be no big deal. But because it comes on the heels of so many, countless moments of degradation and dehumanization, I reacted the way I did.
All right. Here we go. I've told Brian off the air I wouldn't do this anymore, and I did it on the air, and I feel bad. I mocked one of his impersonations.
Was that the marriage to Larry Fortensky, the construction worker?
Nah, this is a long time ago.
Oh, boy.
This is Nicky Hilton, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Paris and Nicky's grandpa, Nicky Hilton.
Was married to Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, I had...
I didn't know that, did you?
you know what, Tim?
That's okay.
Now you see what if I can for a moment.
I know I mocked you and I feel bad.
It's just like a train. You know, there's the rhythm to it. There's a rhythm to that. You say, I honestly really did not know that their grandfather was married to Elizabeth Taylor, and you say, yeah, bon, oh, and there's that pause where I even go, I begin to make the sound.
Let's see. Nicky Hilton.
Was married to Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, I had...
I didn't know. Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, you did.
I did
you
the
went,
mouth.
I didn't know that, did you?
you know what, Tim?
I didn't know that, did you?
you know what, Tim?
I just realized I was...
No, I
didn't. See you later, dude.
Look. Here's why I'm being cruel to Brian Whitman. He's had a stroke.
Have you had a stroke?
No, I have not had a stroke.
All right.
But
I know how impersonators operate, so don't, you know, you don't have to lay the whole, you know, the law down here. I know.
Just to say, I know how impersonators operate. I don't know what you're suggesting. I would like to think that I would be more than just an impersonator to you. That I would, you know.
Yeah, but you are
right.
But you're a sidekick, Brian.
No, I know that you don't like when people mock your impersonation.
Well,
I feel bad.
Well, this is again. It's what I bring to the.
I said I feel bad. What do you want me to do? You want me to get on my knees?
No,
and,
no. It's not necessary. But I think you know the audience knows why I would leave. The audience knows. The audience hears everything that is unspoken in that clip. There is so much that is not said in that moment. There's the mocking of me, obviously, as I'm getting ready to do what I do. It would be like putting on a clown suit and dancing on the tee when Tiger Woods is, you know, bringing the club back.
All right.
So there's so much that is not said, and what's not said is you're a hack. Now you're going to do Johnny Carson. I've heard this 5,000 times. I got to get out of here. Well, you got to get out of here.
No, dude, here's
there's so much there going
dude, listen,
on. It's offensive to me.
Get your freaking act together here!
All right, we're trying, Dougie. Here's why I think that you're pissed, okay? And I think that you hold some deep anger towards me over something I didn't do. When you walked around the Christmas party, and we were at the Key Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you noticed, you got there around 8 o'clock, and you noticed by 10:30, you had a sign on your back that somebody taped a sign to your back that said, I'm a hack. And you blame me for that. And I swear to God, and I told you, Emmis, well, I didn't do it.
I don't know who else would have done it. And in a public place there.
I didn't do it.
I even went outside, you know, on Sunset, was standing outside for a while.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I understand that you say that you didn't do it, and you say you're sorry.
Emmis, I swear to God, on my father's life, I didn't do it.
Look, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I didn't do it.
All right, fine.
I don't even know who did it.
Somebody put a sign on my back that said, I'm a hack. And then when I'm on the air about to do an impression, if you don't want me to do them, I won't do them.
Brian.
But it makes me sound like a hack when... You said, I mean, it was perfect timing there. I was getting all ramped up. You know, that was just my moment to do what I do. As Adam Carolla said, you know, I'm a second.
Brian Whitman is a very talented sidekick. Brian Whitman is a better sidekick than Danny is.
Oh, there
but
you go.
I don't think for a hot second that Brian Whitman would be a better host than Danny Bonaducci.
No. Stay tuned for the abortion of comedy.
See, that's insulting. Actually, on a few levels, that's insulting.
I agree with you.
However, I had my moment there to just kind of drop in what I do, as Adam calls it, sidekicking. That's fine. Call it what you will. Boom. I was going to drop in my little Johnny Carson there. All right. I did not know that.
Perfect.
Look, here's why I'm being cruel to Brian Whitman. He's had a stroke.
And then for you to kind of jump on it, I did not know that. It's like, it's F you. It's really, it's like, you could have just said F you, you hack, with your bad voices, get out.
I think I did. All right. Hey, Gina, can you come in here for a second, Ben?
For a hot second.
Yeah, we got to press on because people are going to turn the station. Gina's reading a brand new book, and I think it's called Our Magic Genie. No, that's maybe just a, excuse me. Your life is waiting, right? Excuse me, your life is waiting?
Oh, yep, that's it.
And she is, Gina's very level-headed. She's not too creepy and weird. And
when she drinks, she gets a little...
Yeah, she does get a little
that
crazy.
That doesn't happen very often, though, Brian.
Yeah, when you drank at the Christmas party, that was odd.
Oh, blowing off some steam.
That
you know?
Was, remember this, the banging?
Oh, yeah.
No.
We were playing a song that she did, and then we went right into commercial. And she slammed her fist down. No.
What you think about that? 'Cause you know how I feel.
All right, this Gina's singing. Then we go right into commercial.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
No, we're playing the Spice Girls.
Oh, he's gone?
Jerry, put the Spice Girls back on!
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
We're playing Spice.
No,
Gina.
Spice Girls,
not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
We're playing Spots, Gina.
Gina.
Spice Girls!
We'll play the rest of it when we come back. Shut her mic off.
Gina, I have your vocal degree.
You're a nut. All right. Thank you.
You know what? It happens to everybody.
Okay.
It's the alcohol.
All right. Let's talk about this book you're reading, because I think a lot of people, you know, once in a while you do book reports on the show. And I think a lot of people can learn from this book. And again, you're not too crazy. I mean, you're not really out there and really whacked.
Right.
But I think you're onto something here. And it's called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting.
Well, I say you can say it two different ways. You can either say, excuse me, your life is waiting, or excuse me, Your life is waiting.
Right. The second one is more welcoming. Kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that's my.
Right. Is that how
like
you say it?
Yeah, that's how I say it. My friend says.
How do you say it?
Excuse me. Your life is waiting.
Oh, wow.
It's inviting almost.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And what's this book all about?
It's basically about.
There are pictures in it?
No pictures. It's basically about your emotional valve.
Excuse me for just a moment. Tim, adults generally don't read books with pictures.
Noted. What's it about?
It's about your emotional valve, whether it's open or closed. And most of us live our life with a closed valve. And when we close our valve, we're closing off all the good things that can happen to us. And it's basically, you know, the laws of attraction and like attracts like. And if you're putting out a negative, low-frequency vibration with your closed valve, you're only going to get bad stuff back.
Now, when you say closed valve, that means what?
It means you're, well, as Lynn Grabhorn, the author, would say, it means that you're vibrating at a very low frequency. And
now, what does that mean?
That means that you're depressed and you're a victim and you're pissy and you're, you know, you're always moaning and whining.
This is my autobiography, this book.
Yeah. Brian Whitman, your life is waiting.
And so I think that Brian is living his life mostly with a closed valve, and he won't get all the good things that are, you know, waiting for
him. How do you open your valve?
Well, yeah. And very good question. And may I offer a follow-up, which you can answer in two parts. First, Tim's question stands. How do you open your valve? And what are all the good things that I'm missing out on?
Oh, Brian.
Please go right ahead.
Well, you open your valve by getting your quote-unquote buzz on. And how you do that is you make a list of all the things you don't want in life.
What are your don't wants?
Personally?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be depressed.
Right. 2 out of 3. I'm not poor.
I just can't get enough. You know, all kinds of things. You have to establish, you have to know what you don't want. Once you've done that, you have to make a list of your do wants.
Do you consider yourself poor?
Leather. Financially, yes.
Do you consider yourself fat?
A little.
Do you consider yourself depressed?
Sometimes.
So if I just opened my valve, according to this book, and I get you're a spokeswoman for the theory. What would happen to me that's not happening in my life?
Well, let me explain it to you, Brian. You have your don't wants, your do wants, and then the third part is you have to get in your buzz about all the do wants. So it's not just about thinking, it's about feeling it. If you can identify what you want and then get in the feeling place of that want and really get excited about it, that heightens your frequency. And then you're really buzzing with a high frequency.
Tim, where did Gina go?
I don't know. What are some of your wants?
Well, you have to make sure that you're not actually, it's not a don't want in disguise.
Ah.
And how you know is how it makes you feel. So if I say, well, I want money, and that makes me feel sad, and that makes me feel like I have a lack. So that's a don't want in disguise. So I want to be financially powerful and comfortable.
Right.
And able to help my brethren when they need it and not worry about, you know, the bills and the things and really have a good time.
Is that a closed valve response to your book?
He's a naysayer and he's going to stay sad.
Well, you know, if you wish that on me, that says more about you than it does about me to wish sadness on me like
that. I'm not wishing it on you.
I think the audience just heard it. The audience doesn't need, you know, they have ears. You know, that's why I always Rick D said,
you know, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth.
So the audience listens. They hear all of this going on, that you're wishing sadness on me and Tim's calling me a hack.
I'll just wait.
You know, it's just another night of
things.
Tim, this is
hack.
What you call a victim stance. And this is somebody.
He blames everybody else.
Yeah, he blames everybody else. And I'm not employing I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm not wishing him any ill will.
You just said I'll stay sad. Stay sad, you said.
But I am, excuse me.
Excuse me.
I am.
Doing a show with a walrus.
I am giving him tough love. You cannot paint the canvas for somebody else. You can only give them the brush.
Tim, do you have some fish to throw at Gina?
Okay.
I have the hiccups.
All right. Now, all right. So this is the book. It's called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting.
Life is waiting.
Now, you're closed. Do you think you have a closed valve?
I think since reading this book, I've opened my valve tremendously.
Oh, so the idea of the book is to open your valve.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
You've become more positive in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't know whether it's like the new year and you're all euphoric or whatever.
How have I done in the last couple of weeks?
You all get to. Gina, you actually have, there's more energy about you and you're like excited to come into work.
I'm in leather heaven.
And you're in Leather Heaven occasionally.
Right. Well, it's not the clothes, you know. It's really more the mental
I
state.
I yeah. love leather.
But you also could be in a position where people would really understand why you were depressed. I mean, you're making, you know, a couple bucks an hour yeah. here and working your ass off.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But now, for somebody like myself to open up my valve, does that mean try new things? Does that mean
no? It really,
you know,
just
instead of having the chicken, order the fish.
The senor
is that a valve opener? I mean, you know, because Tim normally gets the number three. So if he gets the number six, I mean,
that's what makes him happy.
What Gina was talking about, we all went to lunch about 2 months ago, and we went to IHOP, right? And I ordered the Mexican chicken, right? Senor chicken. And the guy says, the waiter goes, how old are you? I go, why do you care? And he says, because you just order off the seniors dinner, you know, the seniors
Christ.
Menu.
Right.
Seniors menu. I mean, how old do you have to be? And he said, 55. I said, I'm not there. He said, I'll give it to you anyway. And I think they purposely bland everything down so seniors can digest it.
I think that would be helpful.
Because there wasn't a taste on that plate, man. And I'm leaving, and the chick at IHOP at the counter, she goes, how was it? And I go, She goes, what do you mean? I go, well, it's IHOP. I mean, it's, you know, I knew what I was getting into. It's not like I was eating at, you know, Morton's or, you know, Lowry's.
No, I'm not at the Palm here.
Yeah, it was IHOP. So, you know, it was an $8 meal. It tastes like $8 meal. It's fine.
So you made that sound to the woman who works here when she said, how was your meal?
Yeah.
Now, that's demoralizing to her.
And then you know what she says to me? Would you like to buy some gift certificates for the holidays? I'm like, what? And give people, what, radical indigestion for their 2 weeks off? Get out of here. All right, so your valve is
radical indigestion.
All right, Gina, how do we open up our valves?
Here's the thing, and I feel like I have to talk with my hands when I do this because I get really excited. Right,
the book is transformed.
The book is
you.
Called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting.
Yeah, by Lynn Grabhorn. She died.
How'd she die?
That's
suicide?
No, she's an older woman.
Right. So excuse me, your life ain't waiting.
Yeah. Excuse me, your casket's waiting.
Basically, she says, in a nutshell, thinking is out. Feeling is in. So you open your valve.
Wait, what's in and out?
Thinking is out. Feeling is in. Oh.
Thinking is out. Feeling is in.
Thinking out.
Yes, you create a buzz. You create that buzz and your valve opens. And she says it only takes 16 seconds to create that buzz.
But she's dead.
Well, she said it when she was alive.
Right. All right, and how do you create the buzz though?
You get excited about your life, and you get excited about your wants.
Even if you're not authentically excited, you
it doesn't
pretend
matter.
Like?
She even gives you a tool to synthetically create that excitement.
I have an observation.
I could probably do that.
I think that this book is and all these theories. I think it's a load of crap because what would happen is you would become one of those, and there's nothing more irritating than those phony happy people where every day they're up here. I mean, they're up every day. They're never on the same, you know, on a plateau. They're never a little bit, down. They're always up, peppy, phony.
I like that.
So just because they're not wildly depressed, they're fake?
I prefer authentic depression to fabricated happiness. Let me repeat that for the audience's benefit. I prefer to deal with, in the workplace or at home or personally, authentic depression as opposed to fabricated happiness.
Yeah, but how do you know it's fabricated?
Every day.
You don't think people are capable of that?
I think that, you know, some people, you know, you see people at
like,
the office.
Like people are capable of being depressed every day. You don't think there's people capable of being happy every day?
Not up. You know, there's some people way up there, you know, hey, hi, you know, bounce, you know, Susie Sunshine bouncing around the office.
You don't like that?
Not every day.
I like that.
I don't.
Do you think I've been hard to deal with the past 2 weeks?
No, I think
I'm very happy.
I think the book is changing you, and I think that
you know who's like that? That Jamie, who works for K-Earth, right? She's got the office in the back there.
She's great.
She's up every day. You know, whatever the hell's going on in her life, she's like positive every day. I like that.
Yeah, she's very sweet. She's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to are, you know, loud laughers.
Oh, that's me.
It's all, you know, in the office, the loud laughing, you know, the very up observations. By the way, packed calendar, doing a million things, happy to be doing
living life.
That's what I can't get into that all of that. I find all of that irritating, and I believe that this book, excuse me,
Jesus Christ,
I believe that this book is creating a generation of fabricated happy people. It's transforming Gina into this kind of, you know, feeling, emotive, my valve is opening nut.
But why would you try to S on her trying to change her life?
That's the,
because you don't think people can change?
You know what I'm hearing, Brian? I'm hearing fear. Fear of change, fear of happiness, fear of success, fear of...
That's true, dude, because I've told Brian on many occasions that he's the best impersonator on the planet. Mm-hmm. And I've told him that he's by far much more talented than Danny Gans, who's making $20 million a year. And I said, you know, get your ass together, get your act together, put a show together, and go to Vegas and make $20 million a year and live in the place where you dream to live in. And you know what he does instead?
He
goes to, like, 7-Eleven and gets like a pint of that crap that he eats at home.
The Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's, that S.
And wine.
I'd like to put Brian on the 30-day challenge.
Oh, God.
What's the challenge?
The author of this book is dead. I mean, don't you get it?
People are allowed to die.
But she's like, she was like 90, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's old.
No, I'm sorry. If her theory was so great.
Well, her theory wasn't that she was going to live forever.
Hey, by the way, did she have her buzz on when she dropped dead?
Probably she did, Brian. Because you know what all death is? It's closing your eyes in one dimension and waking up in another. I'm sure she's very happy.
You're a nut.
All right, your phone call's on this. We're all going to take calls from our 888 number because our other number is not working so hot. 888-520-9710. What do you think about this this book, Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, where you open up your valve and you get your buzz on? Is this fake? Is this authentic? Can you actually change your life?
It's written by a dead woman.
888-520-9710. If you have changed your life, like after the age of 30, we want to know how you did it. 888-520-9710. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. Gina Grad joins us with Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. We'll talk more about this book after these paid messages. It's Conway and Whitman live on 97.1 Free FM.